This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, hour two on a Friday, a football Friday, of course. You've got college football tonight. We then have a great slate on Saturday and Sunday college football. Remember, next Thursday, we kick off the NFL season. To talk about that with Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Our good buddy, the best, Thomas Gable. He runs the Race and Sportsbook at the best property on the East Coast. That's the Borgata in Atlantic City. We say hi to our good friend, Thomas Gable, who did. And again, I included Thomas in Palm versus the Big Guy with the email blast. I let him have the questions. And Thomas was listening to the segment on Wednesday, and you had it officially as a push, if I read correctly.
That's correct, yes. And I appreciate the questions in advance. I got them a lot earlier than when I was an actual judge out there in Las Vegas. So I appreciate the notice in advance on Wednesday. And, yeah, it was a push. I had, I think, 2-2-2 was the way that I had it graded.
You did, and Dustin appreciates it. I mean, I don't know if he'll ever get over the sting of the clean sweep when you sat right next to him, which was ironic. But c'est la vie. Hey, I am curious how at the Borgata they bet that North Dakota State Colorado game. Did you close 11.5, and how'd the handle turn out for you?
Yeah, we did. And, you know, I know a lot of books nationally were talking about how big the handle, you know, was going to be on that game. And for us, that's not the case. It wasn't Colorado doesn't drive, you know, the needle here. And even last year when they got off to their start and, you know, their games were obviously doing big ratings and handle seemed to be going through the roof at a lot of the national books and the Colorado games, people are fading Colorado here last year. And, you know, it certainly wasn't the most heavily bet game on the slate last night. We did more on UNC Minnesota than the Colorado game. So, heck, we did more on some Major League Baseball games than on the Colorado game. So it's while I get it, it's there's a lot of public money, a lot of public interest on that program. With Dion there at the helm, but it just doesn't seem to translate here for us too much.
Interesting. Did any of the games last night get bet heavily? Did you have an overall good handle on that Thursday with a heavy slate?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought we were fine. The handle overall was what I was expecting it to be. Again, UNC Minnesota was the best of the three main games. We had a ton of added games as well, but you know, it was fine. We did well with the results, so no complaints overall about it. Just the I can't say that Colorado was the big driver of anything though.
Okay, let's talk about tonight. Some interesting games, just because, you know, see Jackson Arnold in Oklahoma. The Florida Atlantic Michigan State game's interesting because you may have touched 14, but it looks like it's coming back the other way towards Florida Atlantic. Moshop showing 13. In fact, I'm seeing FanDuel in Jersey there next to you is showing 12.5 with Michigan State laying it.
Yeah, I am seeing some 12.5s out there right now. I think besides FanDuel, there's a couple of others that are at 12.5 as well locally. So in that game in particular, yes, we did touch 14. We had some Michigan State money through the week at 13.5. And we went to 14. That seemed to stop the Michigan State money there. And as you said, now there's starting to be some buyback on Florida Atlantic. And that's what happened when we got to 14. There was buyback there. So now you're seeing, though, even market-wide, we're currently sitting 13.5. You're starting to see it even drop lower there. So that is the most heavily bet game on the board for us so far tonight. Closely followed by Temple and Oklahoma. And again, this Oklahoma-Temple game has been up on the board for a long time now, for weeks and weeks. So we got some respected money on Oklahoma very early when it was under 40, I think around 39.5 is where we opened this and really drove this up to its current shape, where it's at 42.5. Total has ticked down in that from where we opened at 59.5 down to 57.5. But, yeah, it's been mostly Oklahoma money. And Temple, listen, while they're a local school for us, more or less, being in Philly, this is – everybody knows it's no secret around these parts. So this is probably a bottom three college football program in the FBS. I mean, they're just – they're not a good team. So I wasn't surprised to see them getting faded here in week one. And, you know, right now, listen, I would love to see them prove people wrong and keep this within 40 would be good, within 39. But, you know, we certainly have some exposure there, 39.5 and 40 on that game.
Thomas, I'd be shocked if Temple scored tonight at Oklahoma. Shocked.
Yeah, it's going to be rough. It's going to be a rough go.
By the way,
like I said, I have them power rated in my bottom three of college football right now.
Yeah. I don't know, boys, and Thomas Gable, the Borgata, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Are you guys seeing what's happening with Clemson and Georgia? Am I just seeing this? So we touched 14. You opened 13.5, 14. Yesterday, we were sitting here. It was 13.5. I'm now seeing 11s with Georgia laying it. What's happening with this number?
Well, I think you're starting to see some effects here from who's going to be available for Georgia, especially at running back. But, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of 11.5s out there. Still some 12.5s. But, yeah, if you wanted to grab the 12.5 with Clemson. But, yeah, it's a lot of places right now are 11.5. One of the exchanges looks like they're at 12. But this is going to be the marquee game tomorrow. And probably the most handle will be coming in on this game. And, you know, right now it's pretty evenly bet game. But, yeah, market does seem to be moving towards Clemson right now.
Yeah, and you nailed it. So Dustin just texted, top two running backs are officially out, and then potential suspensions for Georgia affecting the market there. So again, anywhere from 11 up to 12.5. It was 13.5 yesterday with Georgia laying it in Atlanta. What's happening with 209, Notre Dame, Texas A&M? I'm seeing mostly threes with A&M laying it, though the juice does look to be coming closer to 2.5. How about there at the Borgata?
Yeah, I'm still at three. You know, we've taken some Notre Dame money at three. Nothing from anyone that I would say would prompt me to get off of that at this point. But, yeah, it's still currently three. Total's 47. That is another total that has come down. A lot of these opening totals have dropped. This is another example, 49.5 from where we opened to 47. But again, this is another game that's been on the board for a very, very long time, a couple months now. So this is one that was opened up as game of the year, one of the games of the year. So any line moves in this has kind of been months in the making. Texas A&M opened as a one-point favorite in this. So, you know, now up to three, and like you said, probably going to dip down to 2.5 by tomorrow. So if you really want to grab that three, probably do it now and take it with Notre Dame.
I want to check ahead to Sunday. Got a marquee matchup, though. I think there are a ton of question marks. Well, maybe about LSU as well, but certainly USC on Sunday, September 1. It looked like it opened somewhere around 6.5 LSU lane. I'm seeing mostly 4, 4.5, and even a couple of fives in the market with LSU.
Yeah, I think six was probably just a little too high, and that's pretty much where it is, 4.5. I think this is going to be a monster handle of a game when you have a standalone like this between two good programs, two storied programs on a holiday weekend at night. It's going to be great. So I know tickets out there in Las Vegas where this game is going to be played are pretty hot ticket to get. So I expect this game to just be probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest, handled game of the weekend. But, yeah, right now, pretty balanced action for us. Do a little bit more money on the under. This total is really, I think, going to come into play a lot. You know, 64.5 is a big number. But you have two programs that really historically in the last couple of seasons haven't played much defense. And you have, again, two programs that have certainly had the offense to put that total up to where it's at. So we'll see if anything has changed year over year there with the defenses. I'd like to see if LSU could potentially do something here and improve on defense this year, but I don't know. I don't know if that's going to necessarily be the case again.
Yeah, two programs, LSU and USC, with some questions to answer. Just about a minute left, but I want to peek ahead to Thursday and see where you are with Baltimore and Kansas City to open up the NFL season, because I do see Kansas City 2.5, and I do see threes, but of course the important number three there.
Yeah, this is going to toggle back and forth. It's been toggling back and forth between 2.5 and 3. Nothing's going to change this week. You'll probably see it bouncing back and forth. So, again, all depends where you take the action at 2.5 or 3. Total sitting at 46.5 right now. You know, this is it. This is what everybody's been waiting a year for, or at least since last Super Bowl, till we can finally get some meaningful NFL games. This is a great matchup to start the year with the two-time defending champs against Baltimore, who, I mean, let's face it, they had their opportunity last year. Hopefully they can bounce back this year.
Thomas, you're my true friend. You know I love you, right?
Yes, sir. It's been great. And thank you. Thank you, both of you.
Thank you, Thomas. The Borgata, race and sportsbook director. He's the best. We're back with more plays in college football. Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're going to get into that Clemson, Georgia speculative. I guess it's the market's moving right now towards Clemson because of speculation. We'll talk about why. As a pretty big drop there with Clemson, Georgia in Atlanta. I mean, I'm showing an 11 in Pennsylvania right now, and then we can go all the way up. FanDuel in Jersey is laying 12.5. So we could talk about that game coming up in just a bit. We'll talk about it with Anthony Heron as well. He covers the Big Ten, former NFL football player Anthony Heron. Then, of course, in 44 minutes, we've got our buddy Mike Somich joining us on the program. But one thing, talking to our friend Thomas Gable from the Borgata, I didn't even realize Monday's Labor Day?
Yeah, see, I didn't realize that either till someone told me, because the only reason I ever knew Labor Day growing up was, one, NFL started right after Labor Day. But then secondly, in the Northeast, that's when school started, was after Labor Day. That's the only reason I ever acknowledged Labor Day. Since becoming an adult, it's kind of like summers. You just, don't know what month is it is. It's June, it's July, it's August. I don't know, same as Labor Day.
Well, whatever you're saying. Here's why I'm asking. That's a holiday. Do we work on Monday?
Yes.
Why would we work on a holiday?
I'm pretty sure we've worked every holiday.
Did Stephanie send out the schedule? Are you sure? Do we work on this holiday coming up on Monday? And that might be an off day. I'll have to check with Bill and Brian. I think they got me filling in for Greg that night. But more importantly, Clemson and Georgia. So that number opened 14. And yesterday we were sitting here, it was 13.5. Now, the day before, so now we're Wednesday, we were touching 14s. I think this is hilarious. We've been talking about the extreme movement, and a 14 down to an 11 is very much extreme movement. So this is where I start to think. We were talking about Clemson, almost 2 touchdowns, 13.5 yesterday. There might be some thought here of buying it back. And I'm going to tell you something else. These two teams, again, kind of an inverse with what's happened with the programs, but 3 years ago when they opened up the year and Clemson was laying 3, Dustin, and it was a 10-7 win with a defensive score for Georgia, and Georgia goes on to win back-to-back titles. To me, it's like the total has always been a little elevated at 48.5, so I will be betting the under here. But the spread is starting to become very interesting, because we knew the two running backs with Georgia in questions. Now they've been officially ruled out, but I hadn't heard about potential suspension, so maybe you could fill me in.
Okay, so Trevor Etienne transferred from Florida to Georgia. Big get for Kirby Smart in the portal.
Huge.
He had a DUI in the offseason. And this is a program that has to take these traffic offenses very seriously. These guys are continuously getting into trouble up in Athens, driving around. So there's talk, perhaps, that he might be suspended for this game. Roderick Robinson, another running back, is dealing with turf toe. Branson Robinson's returning from a season-ending injury a year ago and not sure about his status. And then there's a bunch of other options that are inexperienced at the running back position. The one guy that we do know is Cass Jones. And the best way to describe Cass Jones is his name does not match how he looks. He reminds me of vanilla ice cream. So some issues when it comes to running the football for Georgia against the Clemson team, that the defense should be a strength. They were still top 10 in total defense last year, despite what everyone views them as this year. So because of all of that, that's why the number's getting pushed down. And as someone who got plus 13.5, I am eyeing that Georgia number very closely in the next couple hours.
Yeah, I mean, look, we know exactly what Clemson is. They have to be more explosive on offense. There's no surprise there. They are replacing four players from the all-ACC team on defense, but the safety should be a strength. I think up front they're still going to be very good. Look, Parker's great up front. Woods is great up front. Etienne, you mentioned with the car situation. I mean, look, at this point, if you were taking 13.5 with Clemson, I think you have to start to question if we're looking 11 and 11.5. That's why I'm going to go focus on that total and go under the 48.5.
Yeah, and here's my concern. I've said it all week, but I think it matters. We think of Georgia, two national championships. I'm not taking that away. They are dominant. They are talented. They're going to win football games. But we are a betting network. It's not just about winning the game. Shout out to Herm, my guy. Georgia, 5-1 against the spread last year. 8-7 against the spread in 22. Combined, 13-15-1 against the spread. Under 500 and covering the number. They're always favorites. That's one game better than UCLA. That's one game worse than Akron. Those are not special football programs. So we can talk about them winning. That's fine and dandy. Are they going to cover the number? I doubt it.
Oh, you were done.
I thought you were
just building up to something.
No, that was the build.
That was extremely. Like, I felt like I was getting yelled at there, maybe subliminally, but I felt like you were building. That was good.
It was misdirected. Not meant for you.
I wouldn't think so. Okay. Well, we'll continue as far as suspensions to figure out what's happening with Clemson and Georgia. But again, Clemson getting bought right now, 48.5 on the total. Remember, you got to get up bright and early, specifically on the West Coast. That's a 9 a.m. kick,
yeah.
Noon to kick off your football Saturday.
Can I throw a weird one at you? I saw this number, and it's a big number, and I bet it. And going back in history, you would never do this and lay this big of a number with this team in week one. I laid 20.5 with Indiana week one, taking on Florida
Cignetti.
International. Kurt Cignetti, Google me. All I do is win football games. What else did he do? He basically brought the entire defense from James Madison with him. He's 119-35 overall as a coach. He's never had a losing season. He brought his offensive staff, brought 10 players, also brought in the MAC Offensive Player of the Year, Curtis Rourke, at quarterback from a few years ago. The O-line's going to be awesome. Four of those defenders he brought over from JMU are all-conference. And Mike McIntyre over at FIU is 10-14 against the spread with Florida International. I love laying 20 in a hook because Kurt Cignetti's about to drop a bomb on FIU, letting him know we are here in Indiana. There's a new era in Bloomington. This is a different Hoosier football program. I love them covering a big fat number.
Outside of Kalen DeBoer down at Alabama, I got the second best hire this offseason. Coaching cycle was JMU. I watch more JMU football. Look good in purple too, but I watch more JMU football and freaking love the way that guy coaches. I think that's a coup for Indiana. Now, you mentioned 20.5, and you know I love you, but this is up to 22.5.
Well,
so let's be fair. I'd still lay it with it. Indiana is going to roll.
Ready? If you liked my 20.5, you should have subscribed to VSiN.com/picks because it was in there on Monday morning.
It's called getting out in front of the number.
It's what we're trying to do now. I will say this.
It's almost like you know what you're talking about.
I'll say this, though. Number moving against me with James Madison this week. I will point that out. I did take the points with Charlotte at home against JMU, who we were just talking about. That number has gone back up to about 8.5 because Biff Poggi, the head coach for the Niners, came out and said, yeah, about half our starters may not be available. I think I went too hard in our preseason practices and banged up some of our key players. I'm a little concerned about the number movement, but I would say everything I just said about Indiana taking those JMU defenders, this is not the same James Madison team from a few years ago, from last year specifically. They lost all those defenders, but also their quarterback is gone as well. McLeod transferred out of the program. Because of that, I like Charlotte, who did hit the portal pretty hard to bring in some big names, including former Florida quarterback Max Brown. They brought in running backs from Michigan and Iowa State. There's an Onu O-line in Charlotte. I don't love that I got the worst of the number, but I still think Charlotte has a good chance to cover here at home.
I think it's a great breakdown by you. I have 9 starters potentially injured for Charlotte, but I'm seeing mixed reports as to, I don't think all 9 aren't going to play. And what I will tell you, if you're betting JMU at Charlotte and you're laying 8.5, you're betting on the perceptive JMU from last year.
Yes.
It is literally not the same team.
No.
It's not even a facsimile of what JMU was last year.
So I look, while I got the worst of the number, I still feel good about the bet. I still think Charlotte has a very – Charlotte was not a good football team. Everyone knows that. This program's fairly new. It's not that – it hasn't been running that long. Biff Poggi came over. He's like 60-something years old, ran like a high school program in Baltimore, was a special assistant on Jim Harbaugh's staff at Michigan. The guy is a quirky, weird character, doesn't wear sleeves, wants to tell you he's a tough guy. I do think he knows what he's doing in terms of building this program, and I like them this week.
He might be weird, and his attire is odd. You know, Bill Belichick used to cut off the sleeves, so it's not a...
Well, he wore an undershirt. Quinn, that's the difference.
Dan Quinn wears a backwards hat, so that's not crazy. But if you think the dude at Charlotte is weird, I raise you with my guy back in the day at Coastal Carolina that said he doesn't want cats, he wants some dogs, and started barking and meowing into the microphone.
We need
now,
more
he's not
dogs.
Coaching anymore.
We need more dogs. I want the cats in here meow.
I'm sorry?
Meow. Bennett. David Bennett.
Can you do that one more time? Because I didn't hear it.
We need more dogs. Don't need no cats in here all whimly nimbly.
And did he a cat, though.
Meow.
Oh, by the way, I can't confirm. Thank God.
Good impression.
We are working on Monday.
Oh, we are. Are we?
Tuesday? Wednesday? What about Thursday? What's Stormy up to on Friday?
Good question.
Anthony Heron, Big Ten Network analyst, is going to join us now. Big Ant is tremendous. Played in the league. Now he's covering the Big Ten. Let's jump in to that conference when we come back with Big Ant right here on Sharp Money. Okay, Sharp Money. We've got Mike Somich coming up in just about 29 minutes. We'll do what we do on Fridays. We'll have some fun with Somich with some horse racing. Of course, Somich, as far as I'm concerned, and Bill and Brian did an amazing job hiring Somich. They went out, they scouted him, they found him, and they brought him in, and he is one of the sharpest minds when it comes to sports betting. So Somich, always look forward to talking to Somich. And it appears Matt Brown locked him down for the weekend, so things are good as we welcome you back. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles, the big guy Dustin Sweetelson. We're going to welcome in our good friend Anthony Heron, Big Ant. Big Ten Network analyst, 670 The Score host in Chicago, Big Ant Heron on Twitter. We say hi to Anthony. Hi, Anthony. How are you?
Patrick, what's up, man? We're in the launch phase of another football season. There's a lot of excitement in a variety of places, and there's going to be some fan bases where those hopes get dashed in the not-too-distant future, but for right now, it's a good space to be where the majority of college football feels like they've got a shot.
And it's great, Anthony. It's great to hear your voice. I hope you and the family are doing well. You know what? Exciting times in Chicago. What's happening with the Bears? We've got some juice in the Big Ten. And I'm going to start maybe in a weird spot with the Big Ten, but Dustin and I were just discussing Indiana football. It feels like a coup to get Cignetti from JMU, and he brought over a bevy of players as well. What are you thinking about Indiana football this year?
I love the vibe that he brings. There's no doubt about that, because we're as much energy and positivity as Tom Allen brought to his time with the Hoosiers. There wasn't necessarily a lot of bravado or swag with, and that's not necessary for a coach, but it is different. Sort of the temperament and the tenor, kind of the tone that Kurt Cignetti is setting with the media and publicly and with his team in leading things here early on with Hoosier football. Now, we'll see what the results are on the field, but you know, he doesn't mind telling you. He said it to me multiple times. You know, Google him. You can look at his resume and take a sense for what he's accomplished in the past at previous stops as a head coach. There have been a variety of head coaches who have had success at previous institutions or at, you know, lower levels of the sport. Then you get to that Power Four, Power Five realm. You get to one of the major conferences, and competition is different. So is there going to be the same schematic advantage or personnel advantage or something like that that Kurt Cignetti might have enjoyed at previous stops? Who knows? You know, the results will sort of speak to that, but I'm very much enjoying sort of the tone that he's setting here early on.
Yeah, I saw that, Anthony. He said, just Google me. I win football games. Indiana could use some of that swag with the football program. We like to see that. Anthony Heron, Big Ten Network analyst. So, of course, you got FAU in East Lansing to take on Michigan State, and kind of a program that splintered at the seams last year in Michigan State. They bring in, it seems to, there's some juice there, Anthony, with Jonathan Smith coming in. He brings over his quarterback from Oregon State. The outlook on Michigan State football this year is what?
I'm actually more bullish on the Spartans than some other folks would kind of indicate. I think most people are thinking Michigan State will miss a bowl game this year in Jonathan Smith's first season. And you know, if that ends up being the case, I think it'll be more than explainable why, because of their roster turnover, the newness that he brings to the table. And, you know, you lose some talented guys to the portal. But like you referenced, he brings Aiden Childs with him from Corvallis. And if it wasn't for DJ Uiagalelei just being more experienced and, frankly, having a good bit of cachet that came with the name recognition. And DJ has shown himself as a productive quarterback, but certainly not an elite quarterback. I've got really high hopes for what Aiden Childs brings to the table, not just because of the physical talents that are there, but this guy's 18 years old with a bunch of new, older, more experienced players in the locker room and got voted a team captain in East Lansing already. So that sort of demeanor that he has where teammates rally around him. He's got a very personable attitude to him, but a very workmanlike approach to things day in and day out as well. So he's already garnered that degree of respect in the locker room. And I really think he's a budding star for Michigan State. And I've been sort of working throughout the offseason to temper the way that I talk about Aiden Childs, because I don't want to sort of, you know, roll the hype train in and have everyone expect that there's going to be this easy road to start him for him, because he doesn't have a lot of receivers out there. They've got a deep running back room. Jonathan Smith and Brian Lindgren, they really value the run game. And so I think that's going to be a really assistive way for him, for Aiden Childs, to transition into Big Ten play. And one of the best hires in the conference wasn't only, you know, being able to nab Chip Kelly from his head coaching job at UCLA. That's a big deal. Getting Dan Lynn over to USC to run their defense is a big deal. But Jonathan Smith, coming from out in the left coast and being able to nab Joe Rossi from Minnesota, who'd had a lot of success with Gophers defenses over the years and running them, then I do think where this year maybe there'll be some stumbling blocks early for Michigan State, but by the end of this season, and certainly in the not-too-distant future, there's going to be a program that Jonathan Smith builds that I think folks are really going to have to reckon with the Spartans.
Interesting. So their win total set at 5. Big Anthony Heron, Big Ant, is bullish on the Michigan State Spartans. Now, of course, Anthony Heron joining us, Big Ten, formerly the Pac-12, Big Ant Eats. The real ones know, RIP to the Pac-12 network. I want to ask about your team, Iowa. And now, you may not know this, but in Vegas, and a lot of sharp bettors are high on Iowa this year, kind of a sleepy team in the conference. Do you agree with your alma mater's assertion there?
I do. And you know, I just got a chance a few moments ago to talk to Tim Lester and Kirk Ferentz, Phil Parker, you know, so their coaching staff. And, you know, they're very bullish on this team as well. You know, the amount of experience that returns to Iowa City, there's not a team with a higher percentage of their starters back from last year than Kirk Ferentz and the Iowa Hawkeyes. They were a 10-win squad last year. So you get all that back. And it, you know, having one of the best defenses in America return largely intact, that's a great position to be in. That's obvious. But then the experience that returns on offense matters a lot as well. Even though the offense was, you know, it's hard to imagine the offense was going to get much worse than what Iowa's been the last couple of years. But especially up front on the offensive line, we know Kirk Ferentz's history in that regard with being able to coach up and nourish and develop O-line talent. And so a lot of that O-line that figured some things out in the run phase late in the season last year, so there's a lot of starts that come back for the Hawkeyes up front. And a guy like Logan Jones, their center, who a couple of years ago had just moved over from the D-line, and folks are trying to figure out whether or not, you know, could he follow in the footsteps of Tyler Linderbaum? And then he really struggled his first season. Now, year by year, you see the vision that's been in place. Now they're going to have one of the top centers in America, one of the most experienced offensive lines in the conference, one of the best tight ends in the country is healthy, and Luke Lachey. So there's a lot to be excited about in Iowa City. And I'm really eager to see what Tim Lester's offense looks like, not only in calling their game tomorrow on the Big Ten Network, but what it looks like a month from now, what it looks like in November, as you get these West Coast principles in place, a lot of verbiage that's there that has to be spit out by the quarterback and by the players on offense, but that'll be aided by now the ability to have NFL-style helmet communication in college offenses. So he'll be able to communicate with his starting quarterback, Cade McNamara, up until 15 seconds remain on the play clock. But I do have high hopes for, you know, Iowa's offense. They're not going to be top 20 in the country or anything like that, but if they just jump a couple of dozen spots and you still keep that defense intact, this is a squad that can compete to make a Big Ten championship game.
That is a tremendous breakdown of Iowa football there from a former star, Anthony Heron. Now, we just did something in a full segment that's never been done, talking about the Big Ten with a Big Ten Network analyst. That is, I didn't bring up Ohio State, and I didn't bring up Michigan. So I think I'm owed a congratulations here, Anthony. No?
I mean, a round of applause, at least.
Thank you.
I mean, you know, if you want to talk about the teams who are going to meet for the Big Ten title, I'd be happy to do that, but it is. It's
no.
A supersized version of the Big Ten. Well, you know, there's plenty of storylines to go around.
No, we needed to dip into some of those on those teams with some big-time roster change and what to look forward to for Michigan State, of course, Iowa, and others. Anthony, it's great to catch up with you. You can find Anthony Heron on Twitter, at Big Ant Heron. Listen to him on 670 The Score, and, of course, Big Ten Network. Thank you, Anthony. Enjoy the football.
Appreciate you, Patrick.
Okay, appreciate you as well. Hope you're doing well. He lives there in downtown Chicago, right by, I believe, the Prudential Center. Oh, it kind of lives right across from the Bears Stadium, goes to the games. He's one of the great guys. We've been talking to him for like 10 years.
Summer of 2016, going into that football season. That's the first time we talked to him. So, yeah.
Great
eight
dude.
Years.
Great dude. You know what? When we come back, I want to continue to talk about the games going on tonight, including we have yet to discuss TCU-Stanford.
I have
a couple interesting – I know you have a play, but there's a couple of interesting storylines that aren't being discussed in this TCU-Stanford matchup, so we're going to discuss that one. Also, Western Michigan-Wisconsin, the Broncos might have something to say, and it's not just about craft breweries, which you can find some good ones there on campus. We're back. Sharp Money. Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mike Somich joins the program coming up in just about 14 minutes. We'll have some fun with Somich, myriad sports, including some horse racing. So the big guy getting ready to fade Somich. If you've been following along with the program, whenever Somich gives out a play at Saratoga, Dustin goes down to Gulfstream and bets the same horses.
And it wins.
And I believe you've won close to $700 doing so.
It's closer to eight right now, actually, because
there was
one on last week's show that on the way home cashed, and it was like 10 to win 125, and we were at 15 to win 640, but there was another race we're about $800, 800 off like $40 in bets.
And we're getting completely inundated with emails, sharpmoney@vsin.com, about the little conundrum that's been a thread throughout the program, and that's friendship. And the idea that the big guy is traveling from Nevada to Los Angeles to meet up with a young lady, and he is ignoring me while he's here. Now, many of you don't know, when we go to break, Dustin does the shtick where he's like, are you being serious? And then he was, you know, he offered up a couple of places for me and him to meet up, and I just told him, frankly, I don't want to see you. So that's been squashed, because I'm not the type of guy that's going to simp. Like, if I have to ask you to hang out, then I'm not going to do that. Like, I wouldn't drive to California to meet a girl. No offense, bro. So the idea that I wouldn't drive. Well, I shouldn't say.
Yeah, it's not true. That's not true. That's not true. Don't lie to America. Don't lie to America.
Anyway, let's talk about TCU. Let's talk about TCU Stanford. You like that transition?
Yeah.
I caught myself. Pardon me. Now I'm choking on my lies. TCU's laying 8.5, 9 at Stanford. I don't necessarily understand this number, is what I'll say to you. Now, again, Troy Taylor's first year, it wasn't a banner year for the Cardinal. 3 victories, lost 5 of their 6 games against ranked opponents by more than 30 points. So it was rough. However, the Cardinal returned almost their entire roster from a season ago. You would say that's a roster that just got absolutely demolished by the rest of football. 3 wins, I understand. But it should benefit, again, Troy Taylor making the jump up to the Pac-12 at that time. It should benefit this team tremendously. Quarterback Ashton Daniels returns behind an offensive line that brings back every major contributor. Also going to have his top 4 receivers, his top tight end, backs in the mix as well. And then TCU, conversely, again, TCU is the better team, but they replaced a lot of production from last year's roster, including his 4 best offensive linemen and star running back. I just think the number is a little off with 8, 8.5. Now, let me just see. Did we touch 9 here?
Oh, yeah, because I laid 9. That's how I know. I laid 9.
Offshore right now. So you laid 9?
Yeah.
So I would encourage you. You can find an 8 right now. If you like the 9, come back and lay the 8.
Yeah.
I'm taking the 9 with the Cardinal.
I initially went into breaking down this game thinking I was going to take the 9. But I think TCU's flying a little under the radar. And remember, Sonny Dykes, TCU, first year there, gets this team to the college football national final. Only Big 12 team to go to the playoff like that deep. So I think there's a little post-hype buy on TCU here for me. And I definitely believe in Taylor as the head coach of Stanford going forward. I think they're going to get better under his watch. But they also lost their best offensive weapon in Benjamin Urosek, the tight end who went to Georgia in the offseason. O-line was really bad in pass pro, 129th in the nation in total defense and scoring D a year ago. And I think TCU's going to move the ball and score. I have a lot of questions about Stanford putting up points. And then TCU, you mentioned their O-line. It got better in the offseason. Got an FSU transfer in Bless Harris. Transfers across the board from big programs. A La Tech and A&M guy. 2 guys battling for the other G spot. It's not a myth. I just think there's a lot of things going on with TCU where they brought in a lot of elite transfers and there's not enough hype behind them, and I don't know why.
I'm going to agree with you. And I'm not saying TCU shouldn't
You're
be
You're
going to
back the better
TCU.
Coach.
Has more roster talent than Stanford. Totally agree. But I have more questions than answered about the Horned Frogs' new pieces on both sides of the ball, including a new defensive coordinator. See if his scheme fits this defense. I like the continuity. I think Taylor's going to be a very good coach. I think that was a tough transition with everybody bailing on the program in his first year.
And let's be fair,
so
David,
second season with continuity.
David Shaw kind of started the transition like 2 years earlier when he just stopped recruiting good football players.
Well, because he did this. See, I'm driving a car.
Yeah.
This is how you put your hand on the wheel. And David Shaw was sleeping at the wheel. Because David Shaw was like, hey, Broncos, you got a coaching
spot?
Okay, no. Who's got an opening in the NFL for, like, the last 3 seasons? In fact, I do believe he is coaching in the NFL right now.
Yeah, he just got a job. I think it was with the Broncos. I think you're right. Or the Raiders. Broncos or Raiders?
My Broncos. Terrible shtick was he was trying to land a head coaching job in the NFL.
For a long time.
All right. We touched on it briefly. Can we go back to Western Michigan and Wisconsin coming up tonight? So Wisconsin's laying 24 and a total of 56. I don't necessarily, again, I don't think Western Michigan, obviously, is 24 number. I don't think they're going to win this game. And they certainly struggled last year. But if you just talk about returning production for the Broncos, they're returning a crazy 10 of 11 starters on offense and 9 of their top 12 tacklers on defense from last season. All we're asking for is them to keep it within 24 here.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of Wisconsin. I thought they were going to be so good last year. I really
last
don't.
Year. Exactly.
I thought they were loaded on both sides of the football. I thought they had an outside chance of stealing the Big Ten. So I am very hesitant to back Luke Fickell. So if I was betting this game, I'd join you. I'd back those Broncos.
Wisconsin, who can we compare Wisconsin last year to this year?
Well, they were very portal heavy, but everyone's portal heavy now.
Everybody in the market loved Wisconsin. Yeah,
they brought back two running backs that were studs. That one got hurt, and the other one was okay. I don't know. I don't know if there's a good comp for them, but they just.
I'm thinking maybe Oregon, but they probably weren't as short as Oregon.
No, they weren't that short. Number. They were still a sleeper. Yeah, they were still priced as a sleeper.
Price is a sleeper, but a lot of people. You know what? They were last year's Iowa.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
That's not a terrible comp.
No.
Iowa this year, Spider-Man pointing at Wisconsin. Excuse me, at Wisconsin last year.
Yeah, and as someone who's never been to the Midwest, Wisconsin and Iowa are the same state to me.
Wisconsin and Iowa are the same state. Factually incorrect.
It's same thing.
I was just doing the math. I deduced that that's wrong.
Combined with the Dakotas as well. Same thing.
We should just circle back quickly with the two that we started the program with, and we're going to bring in Samich. Again, I don't know if there is. I'm sure you can find a shutout prop with Temple and Oklahoma. Oklahoma gives up points here. If they drop the football, Temple picks it up and runs it into the end zone because it's not going to happen from offensive production from the Owls. No chance. Total 57.5. If you go over that total, you're expecting Oklahoma to do it themselves. Now, they did in week one last year drop 73 on an inferior opponent and shut them out. So 73 zippy. Temple ain't scoring. I see you digging for that prop.
Yeah, I can't find it. If someone has it, just send it to me. SharpMoney@VSiN.com.
It doesn't change the fact that you're a good person, even though you're ignoring me.
I get a lot of you, if we're being fair. I get an hour phone call before. I get 3 hours of the show. Then I get a 40-minute phone call after where you bail on me to go into the grocery store and you act like you're doing me a favor by talking to me, but you want to talk to me just as much as I want to talk to you. So I get enough of you.
So you mean our 8 o'clock call to prep for the show?
Yeah.
That's a novelty, isn't it?
Still doing that? 8 o'clock still work for you?
For a little while.
Oh,
Temple, a novelty to come prep to a show.
Ready?
What's that? I'm sorry. Do you
Temple,
have something for me?
Temple team total touchdowns under a half plus 105.
I'm sure of the fact they're not scoring an offensive touchdown tonight.
I don't know how many first downs they pick up. Can I get under?
I'm getting this team total for Temple is 6.5 tonight.
Yeah, that's what I saw. One book I saw 7.5 in another.
And you get plus 105 for them not to score an offensive touchdown?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Text me the book. I mean, are you kidding?
It's DK. It's DK.
You can bet it over at DraftKings. Plus 105, Temple does not score an offensive touchdown. If you want the action, they do score an offensive touchdown. I'll book it with you right now.
No, I think they're going to get absolutely decimated. I think Oklahoma's sending a message. I think this is a perfect for a young five-star quarterback to just get his reps in, step back with a clean pocket. It's basically 7-on-7s for the Sooners offense that when I looked back at the numbers last year, I was shocked they were fourth in points per game in FBS. So, yeah, I think they want to start off on the right foot with a new quarterback under center.
There's another game I wanted to take a look at just quickly. So the opener on Thursday, Baltimore-Kansas City, toggling between 2.5 and 3. I just wanted to take a look at Monday night. 3.5 still. San Francisco laying it. As a matter of fact, a book has gone to 4. So the Aiyuk, the Aiyuk news. Do we have Trent Williams news? I'm sorry if I'm sleeping.
I have not seen anything on Trent Williams since the show started.
Okay, so Aiyuk news has pushed San Francisco at a few shops from 3.5 up to 4, hosting the Jets on Monday. Mike Samich joins us next here on a Friday.